Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Comlock Center, and I would like to welcome you first and foremost to our Personal Experiences episode of Signs of Life Radio. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours with us and our listeners. Many people have personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking. So we would like you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate those experiences into our daily lives. And although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your other two co-hosts of this episode are Betty J. Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, the consciousness that is changing the world, and Forever Family certified medium and author, Janet Mayer, who wrote the book Spirits, They Are Present. And we would like you to join us. So before we greet each other and launch right in, I would like to give you the call-in number. So please grab your pen and paper. It is 888-627-6008. Or if you missed that one, 323-744-4831. Welcome, Betty and Janet.
Thank you, Kim.
Hello. Hi, Kim. Hi, Betty.
Did you introduce yourself?
I sure did.
Oh, you did. Okay. I must have been snoring. So, Janet, what have you been thinking? Have any deep thoughts that you want to share with us?
Well, I guess mainly I was thinking how, you know, the holidays are going to be coming, and it's kind of, they hit you in the face no matter what store you walk into, no matter where you go. And I was thinking about, you know, the difficulty from someone, you know, who has to navigate through those holidays, you know, after they lose a loved one. And I always think, you know, what is something that, you know, you can share with that? And one of the things that I was thinking about the one day was how, you know, we have somebody I loved who just passed the past year. He was a jokester. He told a joke every single time I saw him. I think for the whole length of my life, I've never been around this person who, you know, doesn't tell a joke. And I was thinking how, you know, it would be fun when we get together on the holidays and we're all thinking about him, you know, if everybody would have a joke. And, you know, and do it in his honor. And I know that sounds really strange in a way, but I think it can, you know, it's something that you can kind of, you know, present with one another, and you can laugh about it. You can cry, you can discuss, and it kind of brings up the topic, you know, of the loss, but it also is something to, you know, to bring memories back of him. And I think that for each individual who, you know, who has lost someone, if there's something that's standing out for them, I think it's a really important thing to bring them into the conversation in some way, and don't feel like, oh gosh, I shouldn't talk about them because, you know, they died and nobody wants to hear that. I'd be like, no, if that's what you want to do, that's what you do. You know, you bring them up. They're a part of your life still. They will always be a part of your life. And I think with the holidays, it's a really difficult time. And a lot of people don't want to celebrate. And if they don't want to, then, you know, that's okay. That's, you know, what they choose to do. But, you know, everybody has to go their own way. And I think that not judging people for whether they want to get together or not is really important, because I think that so many people do judge when somebody passed. Well, they did this and they're thinking that. And I'm like, you know, if everybody would learn to let go and just understand that grief is individual for everyone. And it's even, you know, for no matter who that person is, they're all grieving the same person. They're going to all grieve in their own way. And so we have to remember that and respect that with each other. And I think that it's a really important thing with the holidays coming up because of that.
Yeah.
So that's my take.
Well, I think that's really good. And I think that we grieve differently with each person who passes. It depends so much on so many different things. The circumstances of the person who passed, the circumstances of that person's life, of our own life. There are many, many different factors, and they range with each person who passes over. So we might be able to actually survive and get through very creatively with one passing, and another, that person might have great difficulty. So I think we need to realize that grief is not only different for each person, it's different for each person who passes for that same person. So,
right.
And sometimes the person who's grieving is surprised and think it was so different before, but the circumstances always change the way we grieve.
Mm-hmm. And also I think, finding a connection with them, in a new way, because, when they're here, we've always known it. We've known how to respond, how to act, what to do. And now that they're gone and you still want to have that connection with them, you have to find it in a new way. And you have to be open to finding it in a new way. And some people are like, well, aren't they gone? And I'm like, no. And I made the comment one time, actually not too long ago about, you can ask them to give you a sign, ask them, to show you in a way that you personally will understand. And they're like, oh, I don't want to bother them for that. And I'm like, I don't think you're bothering them. I think you're letting them know that you're connecting with them, that you want to connect still, and that you're available to be open if they want to come through and share something, because you never know when they may be able to give you something, whether it's a, precognitive or it's something else. And so that's something to be aware of. And I think we have a caller.
Yes,
we do. Welcome, Naomi from California. We are grateful for your call.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking
Pretty
my
good,
call.
Naomi. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am actually dealing with the death of both my parents within 7 weeks. Of
could you
each
stop
other.
Just one moment? Yes. Naomi, we can hardly hear you.
Can you speak louder?
Can you hear me better now?
Oh my Absolutely. Goodness, it's totally
Thank
different.
You. Can you start again, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I am currently dealing with the death of both my parents. Both my parents passed last year within 7 weeks of each other. It wasn't even 2 months. And they were, relatively, they weren't young, but my mom was 77 and my dad was 82. So they were not that old. My mom had no pre-existing conditions and kind of just went to the hospital and never came back 10 days later. And I guess my question is, I come from an Indian family with Hindu, Sikh, and Buddhist background, and we believe a lot in reincarnation, of course, in our religions. And then, of course, I was grateful to find your organization, which has been tremendous help. But my question is, even with the beliefs in Eastern philosophies, sometimes I have doubts if we just created all these philosophies to just help us cope better. And I think I'm just looking to ask you guys if, I guess sometimes I just have my doubts and I'm just looking to validate everything that I have been taught in the Eastern philosophies that deal with reincarnation and life after death.
If I can just jump in here. And I know Janet will have something to say, but I think that, in the East, these traditions are very powerful and they are supported by tremendous amount of evidence through experience again and again. But in the West, when we live here, we are inundated by disbelief and criticism and doubt and the worldview that there's nothing. I think we have to really accept that we are in that atmosphere. It's in the field and it's going to affect us. We're going to start doubting things that we didn't doubt before, that we had tremendous evidence for. And I think that know that from the get-go and try to get into a place where you can breathe deeply and allow what you know to come through rather than what the culture is sort of pouring down on you. And
such a great point, because I often think of my cousins in India and how they kind of just don't have sometimes the doubts that I do. And I was just wondering if there was something wrong with me, but I think you pointed out maybe perhaps I didn't look at the fact that we live in different worlds. So thank you for that.
Oh, yes. I think we have to remember every day the power of the cynical, doubting, negating mind of material science, which we now know is not complete, that it's a censored science. But a lot of people still don't know that. And there's a great arrogance in holding on to the negativity as something intellectual, which it no longer can be considered, you know.
Yeah.
But we're in a biofield, and that field is filled with that. And we have to constantly reorient ourselves in that place where we know, and let that be our guide and project that out into the field to change the field.
Thank you for that.
I agree, Betty. And Betty, I was going to say something very similar to what you were saying, and it was beautiful. I do agree. I think, you know, the thing is that we get caught up in the limits of our beliefs because so many people believe differently, but you already were raised with your beliefs. You already have your beliefs. You know they exist. You know they're there, and you have to, you know, remind yourself. And I think another thing is, you know, kind of actually what I was talking about at the beginning, which I think for you is, you know, ask your parents for, you know, some type of sign, or, you know, just, you know, sit still and feel their energy and know that they're there and just simply accept it and not question it. I think a big problem with our world is that we question so much that we forget to listen. Mm-hmm. And I think when you sit and listen and you just sit in that silence, a lot of times those answers come to you, and they'll be, sometimes they're really quick. Sometimes it goes really slow, but the answers are there. And as soon as you remind yourself of that, it kind of changes the whole world around you and within you again, and reminds you that, yes, I do know this exists. Yes, I do know this happens. And I think, you know, trusting your own intuition in it. And I think that will kind of empower you to remind you to have that connection and relationship with your parents, and know that, you know, that it's, you know, there's changes, but there's so much that's going on that we cannot see, or that supposedly we cannot see. But there's so much more out there that we really can see. And so if you're open to that and you remind yourself that, you know, you have a belief, you've always had these beliefs, you don't have to listen to all these other, you know, people coming at you with beliefs. Just remind yourself. Okay.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Well, you have a very deep and long tradition. I did not have that. You know, my family were, every member was a part of this culture. And we wondered, we didn't know anything, you know, there was no tradition that was already embedded within us. And Kim and I were talking before the show about one thing that I tried to do is that last time we talked about this too some, and it's worth saying a little bit more about that, you know, you can have all these emotions and the emotions can just rip you apart. Some of those emotions can be doubt, and others are of course sorrow and loss. And so I can't think, Kim, you were talking, I thought that was really good, from William Irving Thompson.
Right. There are several things he said that I think would be helpful to go over. And one of them is, if we come to the edge of our knowing, we have to imagine. And then he goes on to say, the imagination is like a transformer that takes electricity and steps it down to household current so that it can be used to run the appliances of our everyday lives. And Betty had explained it this way, that when we can think of electricity as a metaphor for the unlimited power of the multidimensional mind, and when we can think of the imagination as our mental capacity to take in this energy and transform it into language, we can then begin to relearn our truly native language. And
which would be images. And you have a native language rich in thousands of years of experience, which is within you, you know? And what...
That kind of just, you know, and that's what I get mad at myself sometimes for doubting, but...
No, don't do that. We're all human.
that's a part of what's happening.
I just want to keep the channels open with them. And just sometimes when I start doubting, it just kind of crushes me down completely because it's hard.
Oh, I understand that. And, you know, one thing that I did is that I would imagine these images came to me that I was sitting in the center of a circle and elders were surrounding me meditating. And they were like the transformers that could take this very high energy from the other world and transform it into an energy that could I could understand and that would heal me. And that language, of course, is symbolic language, images, that they would take this energy and then give it to me in images. And you have that tradition in you. And I had to open myself to these elders from whatever tradition they were, and on the other side to, well, and we all have a human psyche. We have this language within us, even if we weren't in such a culture as you have. But that helped me a lot, is that just you could put all of those elders of your tradition around you and sit there with whatever's going on with you and ask them to send you the energy to prance, be able to be transformers of this intense energy and give you the images that can heal you. I think it's so important for us to know that we can get out of the words and our descriptions of our grief, our feeling, and allow the images then that, as Carl Jung said, are embedded within that emotion or the doubt, and allow those images then to just sink into us and imagine those elders just feeding those images into us. It worked for me. It helped so, so much. And then I realized I wasn't really making them up. I was imaging them, imagining them, because they existed. They exist in the other world, and that means they exist here right now for us.
Sure. Wow. That's the most I've been helped since. Thank you.
You're so welcome, Naomi. Thank you for calling in and talking with us about this. And we hope you call in again sometime. And take care.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that was pretty amazing that we're talking about the native language, the symbolic language. But like Betty was saying, she's embedded in that whole cultural language that is steeped into herself.
Yes,
she can rely on.
Yes,
to turn to.
It'd be readily available.
Right. We have Marissa from Florida on the line with us. And our producer let us know what she would like to talk about. Should I let people know, or should we ask Marissa to tell us?
Let's have Marissa tell us.
Okay, Marissa, welcome to this program, and thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
Hi there.
Can you please speak up, Marissa? We have a harder time this evening hearing than usual.
Okay, can you hear me?
Not well.
We need better.
Yeah, not very much.
Project really well for us, please.
Hold on, let me.
Okay.
Is that better?
It's a little bit better, but if you can do any more, that'd be great. If you're in a position to speak louder.
Oh, that's better.
Please okay.
That's perfect. Thank you, Marissa.
Okay. I guess I just have a question. I've actually spoken with Janet in the past. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
And my question is, you know, I had lost my son, and I have felt him around, but lately, I mean, it's been a couple of years now that I just don't feel like he's been around as he was, and I'm just not sure of how I can, I don't know, kind of, is there anything I can do to encourage feeling him?
Sure. Hi, Marissa. I do remember you. Now that you're talking, I remember your voice. I think what you have to remember on something like this is that don't look for the same thing. Look for something new from him. Okay. Like, I kind of get the feeling like, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm not going to do a reading or anything, but what I would like to share with you is I think that this is something for everybody to kind of be open to, that when somebody passes and we receive a sign from them, we might start expecting very similar signs or expecting them to come in a certain way. And I think that what happens is that over time, you know, you grow, they continue. Grow, you continue to grow. And I think that the signs show up differently, and they might come a little differently, or may come in kind of more of a subtle way, or through someone else, or kind of, you know, like, in let's say, for example, you know, you always feel like he came through in a certain way. And now you're like, I'm not getting that. It's not happening. I think that, you know, maybe that in a way, he's stepping back or over to the side to say, hey, I'm still here. But as you live your life, look for me in, you know, in different areas or in different ways. And I think that will help a lot too. Okay. I don't know, you know, I'm not getting like specific of, you know, do this or do that, but I mean, you can ask for signs in that, but I almost feel like this is coming through almost as if, you know, I feel like there's something that we have to remind that people about subtle energy or subtle ways. And it feels smoother to me. So I think sometimes, you know, our loved ones, they might pass. And I've had people tell me in the past, like, oh, well, they would come through this, or they'd give me that. And I'm like, well, you know, that might have been, you know, then, and they still might do that, but they're also coming through like this. So I think if you're just open, and I'm not saying go around and look for a sign everywhere you're at, but just remind them that you're open. And that he should come through, that maybe right now it's kind of, I don't want to say a lull, but maybe it's like you have to go through something, that maybe you're experiencing something. And so you have to figure that or do that on your own. And maybe, you know, he's going to be there to help you. But in the same way of, you know, with anything, sometimes you have to walk that path for a while, and then he's going to support you and show you some type of sign. And I think that, you know, you have to remember it works that way too. Everybody comes through in their own way and in their own time, but there's a lot of different angles that they can come through. And I think that, you know, you don't get caught up in like, well, I haven't, you know, I feel like he hasn't been around, or I don't feel like it's there. It's, you know, he still is. He's still there. They still are. Our loved ones are still around us. And I think that they come through when they need to. And maybe right now, you know, maybe there's something going on. You don't need it, or maybe you have to do something on your own. So you got to keep that in mind too. And that, just remind yourself, yes, he's still with me. It's okay. And then be open to it. And that's when signs, I think, start, you know, things will start happening. But, you know, especially if someone has somebody where they get a lot of signs and then they don't get any, they're like, what happened? And I think it's important to remind yourself that, you know, it'll come in waves. It's going to come when it needs to. You'll receive a sign when you need it. Or if you have to go through something specific on your own, then maybe they're standing back and saying, hey, you have to live your life, and I'm going to come through when you need it. So keep that in mind too. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Janet.
Sure.
And also there's something else too, is that feeling is language. And
yes,
very often you will have a deep feeling, and it's very strong, but because we don't consider feelings, you know, as language, sometimes we kind of let them pass and think, oh, well. But when you have a feeling that can be that energy of that person who is speaking to you in the feeling, and that's really important, I think, to be open to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Marissa.
Sure. Thanks, Marissa. It was nice hearing your voice.
Thank you. You guys have a great night. I appreciate it.
You too.
So much. You too. Aww.
Well,
yeah,
I think you're right about that, Janet, that, you know, that sometimes, you know, people have been in touch with us for quite a while, and then we don't hear from them. But I heard, and I see there's a caller, so I'll make it fast, that I heard Freddie Silva the other night, and he was talking about the crop circles. And he said, well, those crop circles came, and they were plentiful, and they came and they came. Not now so much, because they gave us the messages, and now we need to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a case.
That's true. That's true.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know, Betty, I think, you know, people have a tendency to think, oh, they're not around. And, you know, I'd love to just share real quick. I know we have another caller, so I'll make this fast. But my grandmother, she passed when I was a young teenager, and she came back to me when I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And I hadn't heard from her in all that time. And she appeared to me out of nowhere and, you know, to give me a message. And I think I was so shocked that I saw her, and I was so shocked about the message that it took me, you know, weeks to say, oh my gosh, I mean, it's been that long. And so our loved ones are still with us. You know, they, even when we think, oh, I don't know, but they're around. And if they have something to share, or they want you to, you know, do what you need to do, you know, that's how it works. Life moves on, and they're still around. And if they have something to tell you, they'll get you a message if you're open. So, and I just, you know, I'd like to remind that to the callers that you think, oh, it's been 10 or 20 years. That time doesn't matter on the other side. It doesn't work like ours.
That's our idea of time, yes. It's
right.
It doesn't exist in that dimension. Okay.
Right. Okay, go ahead. I know you have another caller.
You, Melanie, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Oh, hi. I've called a couple of times over the years because I'm now year four into my daughter's crossing. But I just, listening to the other callers being in a different place and all of the relationship development, I just wanted to share, you know, one, for Naomi, being around people who get what you know is really important. And an example of this, I had a Zoom call with a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, and she and my daughter were growing up together. My daughter died at age 16, but they were friends, and they still are friends. So my friend asked me about Quincy, my daughter, who's dead, and I really appreciated that. And she's like, so anything new? And I said, well, you know, I said, it's kind of funny because I still get my coins. I've gotten coins from her all the time, and most every day, probably 98 out of 100 days, I'll get a penny or something. And I'm outside a lot, so I get that. But now, you know, I said, but she really showed up yesterday because I got a quarter and two dimes and two pennies and a little piece of jewelry. And I said, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, and she cut me off and she just said, oh my God, it's like Kay, her daughter, who's now 20, which would be my daughter's age, and in college. She said, yeah, she just sends like a thumbs up emoji or a smiley face when I'm asking her all these questions. And every now and again, she'll give me a call. So I guess it feels like that. It's like sometimes when the signs may feel like they diminish, it's just they're doing their thing, you're doing your thing, and it's like a quick check-in with a thumbs up, and then you get the bigger sign. At least that's what it felt like to me. And she got it, so that was a cool thing.
That is very cool. I mean, that's really cool. And I think that that's important. I'm glad you called and shared that because, you know, signs come in all different ways and they come from other people, you know, and so that's really, that's beautiful. And I think that's very validating, not only for you, but for your, you know, her friend and for everybody here to listen to say, hey, that's really neat that this is happening still. And it's physical signs, which are really cool. And, you know, it's coming through on phones, which that's very modern. You know, you can't say that how many years ago. So I think that it's really a beautiful continued connection, you know?
Yeah. It's just, you know, like we talked about before, it's a hard transition and it does take time, but you settle into a new way of being with your person or people, and it becomes the norm. And I think for me, the hard part is if I try and go back and, you know, I start thinking about what it was, that's not really healthy for me, because what it is what it is now. And that's just another thing I've been learning over time.
Right.
Oh, I think that's so important. And, you know, in my case, there was a tremendous amount of communication with each one of them who died. And now it's more feeling and more that we're working together on these projects. We understand what's going on. And I know that they're guiding and helping me. And it's not the same kind at all, because, as you say, we're in a different kind of relationship. And I don't want to look back and want it to be the way it was, because that wouldn't work. This works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll let you go. I'm sure other people want to call in, but it just, you know, if people aren't fresh in it, it gets different in a good way if you just keep working on it. So that's all I wanted to say. But have a good night, and thank you again for being here.
I think that's a very important thing. Keep working on it, and don't expect things to be the same way, and allow for something to happen, whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, openness.
An inspiring note, Melanie. And thank you also for your wisdom for Naomi as well. That was very sweet.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Have a good night.
You too.
Good night. You just, thank you. You take care.
That's go ahead, Tenet.
I was just going to say, I remember Melanie, because she's the one that said that about maturing in your relationship, something like that. I think that was her. And I always think that was such a great comment that, you know, I've always remembered it in the future, because that's something people need to remember too, is that, you know, when we lose someone that was 20 years ago or, you know, 10 years ago, we're maturing, they're maturing. They're still, you know, maturing over on the other side. We're still here doing that. And so the relationship does change. And that's something to keep in mind too. And people are like, oh, no, that's not true. And it's like, no, I really believe that is true. You know, and I've had readings where I've seen, you know, young children on the other side, and they're, you know, it's like they're growing up, and you're kind of like, wow, that is so strange. And it's like, no, they're trying to show you, you know, how in their own way, whether they really are growing up or it's just, you know, continued soul to soul. But it's very interesting, because I think we do need to remember that as well, that, you know, we are all continuing onward with our, you know, our own journey in our own way.
Well, yes. And if they were here, our relationship would be changing all the time, too.
Right. I mean,
we think of the kind of relationship we perhaps had with our spouse when we first met, and how over the years it matures. And then when one goes to the other side, of course, there's going to be a tremendous difference. And we are going to intensify as well. So the relationship is going to be very different. And we just have to be open for differences and different kinds of communication and different ways of being in the world as a result of the different relationships and the different kind of knowledge. Yeah, it's all a growing process, and we are here for a purpose. I am absolutely convinced of that. And I think once we know they've arrived, they're safe, you know.
And still here.
And still here. They've arrived here in another dimension. And we can begin to understand the purpose of the passing, the purpose of our involvement in this kind of relationship, because we can't live without meaning or purpose. And when someone passes, we have one of the greatest opportunities to open to the larger meaning and purpose of our own lives, the reasons that we were born, why we found each other. And so it's can be a very exciting time and creative time if we allow it to be. And that means that everything is going to change except the love.
And sometimes purpose changes too.
It increases, certainly it does it. And I think, yes, and when someone passes, the purpose is understood, at least in a much broader, deeper, inspiring level.
I mean, even our purpose, as we had understood it, now that we want to connect and learn more and continue to grow in that relationship, that becomes part of our new purpose.
It does. And I think we also begin to learn more about ourselves.
Right.
You know, that's an important aspect to being able to grow is to know that we do and that we can and that we are so much more than we have been led to believe, you know?
Yes.
Right. Well, and there's no boundaries. Now there's no boundaries. You know, you're open on your side, they're open on their side. And, you know, and many times people, you know, they're plunged into grief. It goes from, you know, 0 to 100 and you're like, where are you going? And your whole life is flipped upside down. And you're trying to decide, you know, where do I go? Well, how do I take the next step? You know, and I think that if you remind yourself that, okay, you know, when you lose your loved one or lose a loved one, you know, anybody, and you have to remind yourself to stay open that they may want to come through in their own way. And just, you know, like, I think something else that's always interesting is some people are like, well, I don't know if I'd ever want to see them. And I'm like, and I think they'd understand that. I think our loved ones know how to come through for us. I think that, you know, you can tell them sometimes in your own way. You can, you know, just sit in your space and kind of meditate and say, I'd love for you to come through this way, or, you know, come through in a way that I will understand, and when I will, you know, when I'm open to listening, because grief is really difficult in the sense that, you know, you're kind of in a different world. And I think that it kind of opens you up to say, okay, I'm, you know, I'm trying to stay open. And when people are in grief and saying, oh, I'm missing the signs, it's like, no, that's not it. You will receive it when you are supposed to. It will come through in a way that you can, you know, that you can receive it, that you can handle it, that you will understand it. And Betty, like you said, you will feel it whichever way it's going to come through, you know, any of your senses. And I think that reminding yourself you have that connection with your loved one and to kind of surrendering to whatever feelings need to come through is really important, and to experience that and trust what you receive.
Yes.
And that, you know, trust it. And, you know, I always say pay attention, because sometimes the signs are so subtle and it almost stops you and you're like, wait a minute, did that just happen? No, that didn't happen. Well, no, did it happen? No, that couldn't happen. No, it happened. You know, and you have to just remind yourself to be open and say, you know what? Okay, I got that. But next time you might want to be a little stronger, because I'm not real sure, you know? And I think that's important too, is to, you know, recognize, you can tell them thank you, or just be like, yeah, I got that. I got it. That's what I needed today. And yeah, I think when you do that, that's really important.
It's important and doesn't always need to be repeated again and again. I think that, you know, once we have the experience with them that they are alive, that their consciousness continues, the love continues, that they are present, then we have to open ourselves for our larger purpose, allow the larger relationship to develop, rather than want them to constantly communicate that they're okay. You know, we have to, that's our doubt. And they probably are thinking, but I told you that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that, and maybe they want to go deeper, you know, yes, we are present, we love, we're related, but there's a larger purpose here. Let's focus on that and see what we can find out about that.
What's next?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think too, it's important not to let, you know, like our first caller, not to let anyone kind of take away, you know, our beliefs from us and take away any signs that we receive. Or, you know, how many times has somebody said something and you're like, oh, I don't know if that could happen. And then right away you're like, well, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe I imagined it. And I think that when you're just in your own kind of power of, no, I know that happened. I know what I felt. I know what I saw. I know what I experienced. I think that's important too. And I'm not saying don't be around those people. I'm just saying, remind yourself that is your sign, that, you know, be kind to yourself, you know, and what you received, and remind yourself that, you know, this is where you are, and that you have this new relationship that nobody else has. You have this new relationship with a loved one, and, you know, don't let anybody take that away from you, that, you know, your signs or your connections, they're personal. You know,
yes, because we have to remember with a degree of forgiveness and kindness that those people are suffering the same things we suffer when we doubt. Is it inundated by there's nothing? When you're dead, there's no meaning, there's no purpose, there's nothing but matter. And we know that isn't true. Quantum physics has blown that apart, but people still are in 19th century thinking because we were all brainwashed in it. So when someone says, I don't think that can happen, that person may very well want it to happen, but just can't believe it. And you've experienced it, you know, so you have to hold on to it. But I think we just have to be forgiving of those who just are negative about it because they're inundated by a field that has been filled up with negative thoughts and doubts. And that's what we're here to change. And actually, that's why we have the radio program, so that, you know, we're someone all together who call in and are here who are not going to say that because we know, because we've had the experience.
Right.
Well, and there's so many wonderful experiences and so many wonderful signs over there. You know, there's so many things that we receive here that are just so fantastic and they're so exciting. And that's, I think that's too, one reason why we do this is because it, you know, not to put anything down and sound, you know, bad, but we love these signs. This is what's so beautiful is that all these wonderful things are happening from the other side to us. And it's like, how is it happening? But it's happening. So it's really cool, you know?
It's cool, and we can go beyond signs, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Beyond that and get into, I was thinking of a vision, actually, that my husband had after our son passed, and it was a bridge. And he said, that bridge is connected. We're all constructing the bridge. They're working on it on the other side. We're working on it here. But they can only move as fast as we move. If we just keep staying in the same place, you know, then they can't move, because if they move too quickly, they break the bridge. We have to work together in terms of, you know, what we need on each side. So it's so important to think, okay, they've let me know this, and now I want to hear that you're on the other side. What's next, as Kim says, you know,
right.
and know that we're building a bridge together, and that we can't go too much faster or slower than the other side.
Have to both balance somehow be balanced fashion.
Yes, otherwise the structure doesn't work. Oh, someone's calling in.
We have Mary from Louisiana. Good evening, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Good evening to all of you lovely ladies.
Good evening to you.
Good evening, Mary.
A little bit louder.
Well, the reason for my call, my call is not related to the grieving process, so it's slightly outside of, you know, what you normally are talking about. But I know that your listeners are often encouraged to call in with what we call the other world type of experiences, and that's what I would like to tell you ladies tonight.
Wonderful.
Please do.
Absolutely.
Both of these instances have happened, let's see, within the past maybe 2.5 weeks. I'll go with the lesser one. And I also want to say I've had a variety of what I call these strange experiences over the years, many, many times. So it's not unusual that they happen to me. However, it can be kind of mind-boggling at the same time when they do happen. So here is the first one. I'm elderly, and I will not answer my front door. I won't answer a knock or the doorbell if I'm not expecting anyone, because of the fact that I'm an old woman now. And a little bit apprehensive about who would be at my door. I guess some people would say a bit paranoid, so I admit it. The other day...
That's smart.
It's smart.
So, the other day, I hear knock, knock, knock on the front door, and the shutters were open in the area by the front door, so I could sort of peek out and see, you know, what's going on, which I did. And it was no one that I knew. And so I just kind of stood there for a couple of seconds trying to, I guess stay partially hidden, because the person knocking at the door would have to have left the front door and then gone around the sidewalk and maybe could have seen that I was home. Well, at any rate, so when the coast was clear. Out of my left ear, I clearly heard the voice of a young girl, maybe like a early teen, preteen, 12 to 13-year-old range. I heard a girl say, "Well, who is that?" You know, and I just, you know, how do you answer something like that, you know?
My goodness.
So, yeah, yeah.
We lost your voice.
I'm Mary, sorry?
Mary, we can't hear you again.
Oh, speak okay. Let,
no,
okay.
There, oh, there you are.
Perfect.
Well, all right, I'll keep the telephone positioned right here.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
well, how do you interpret that?
You know, honestly, I just told you that I've had so many strange experiences over the years, but I don't know how to define them. All I can do is say these things happen to me, and they happen with regularity. I don't know.
No, it seems you've got spirits present all right around you.
Interesting. You said
another story?
Yes, she did say she had two, I think.
Yeah, I do have another instance. So I often have very vivid dreams, and they're always in color. So went to bed one night hoping for a good night's rest, which I got. And the next morning I got up, woke up, and remembered my dream. And it was of me on a patio, and in the dream there was a lovely golden retriever dog, a fully mature older dog, and when I went to pet it, because I'm an animal lover, I thought, wow, how strange. This is not the hair of an older dog. This is soft, fluffy hair. What's going on here? And at that point, I think the dream must have ended, because that's all I could have remembered. So, 2 days later, I got a telephone call from my son. And he said, "Why don't you come over? Let's have a cup of coffee. And we'll have a piece of cake." So I said, "Great, fine." Went over there, went in their door, and I hear, "Ow, ow, 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 ow." And out comes this sweet little puppy. We go out on the patio. My son is carrying the puppy. We go out on the patio. He hands the baby dog to me, and I couldn't believe it. I touched its fur, and it was the identical type of very soft, fluffy fur that I was able to feel in the dream. It was like, okay, this is coming. Yeah. This is an animal coming.
Oh my God.
So, well, there you go.
Wonderful.
Merging of times. Yeah.
Premonition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I think the little puppy came to visit you before you, I think you knew about it before you actually got to your son's house.
That's
really cool.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, Janet.
And I also wanted to share real quick, too, that I think that the girl voice that, you know, you heard that you said that came to you, and you often hear a lot of voices, I think you might just have friends that drop in to keep your company at times. Or if you're concerned or thinking about something, or, you know, oh, gosh, I wonder, you know, where'd that person go, or who is that? And then for that, you know, to that spirit to say, oh, who was that? Or I think that you just have friends around. I mean, that's what it seems like to me, that you might just have some extra little friends dropping in to keep you company. And, you know, you're not afraid of it, and they like it, and you like it. And so it works out. It's a nice little relationship.
That's good.
I'm really not afraid of it, because there's nothing that I can do to stop it. And I really don't think I want to stop it. And I think you might be right. I think that I do have, I think I have some very verbal spirits that abide in this house. I've had a few instances of, I mean, that's not the only one where I've actually heard a message. But from time to time, I've heard various things here in the house. And there they are, you know. So at any rate, those are my two stories. But I was especially fond of the one of the puppy, because I just couldn't believe it, you know. Dreaming of it, touching an older dog, didn't feel like a regular older dog, and then actually coming upon the same thing in real life. So there you go.
Well, I love it. Cool, thank you. That's nice.
I love it. And I like the idea of spirits being there, just sharing the questions and experiences of your daily life.
Right. Kind of good to know that they're around. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, well, thank Mary. You, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I was a little oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought there.
Precognition.
Yes. I couldn't get the word out. I think there was a little precognition in that dream, and she already met the puppy before she met the puppy. So, you know, while it was here. So I think that's really cool. And I do think she has friends probably dropping in. And like she said, she's not afraid of them. So why wouldn't they stop by? You know, why don't they, you know, they might have, hey, you know, a bunch of friends are over on the other side. Let's stop and visit, you know, and visit Mary. And they'll be like, oh, see, she can see us or she can hear us. And I think that's really cool. I think, you know, I think even, you know, you talk to any medium, and any medium, and I'm sure even Betty and Tim, you might have both had these experiences where you hear a voice or you hear something and you're like, huh, I wonder who that was. And you're like, or you know who it is, you know? So I think that's really, I think it's beautiful. I love hearing that. And I hope that happens to more people because, like I said, you know, you don't need to be afraid. It's just, it's really part of life. And I think if we were all raised that way, it wouldn't be such a, wow, I can't, that's really cool. It happened. Now, you know, it would still be that way, but it would be on a different level, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we'd kind of live our lives differently.
Right.
It could actually increase the circle of our experience so much if we allowed it. But we've been taught to think everything's crazy or are you kidding? kind of thing. Yeah.
That's why we have the show, so that everybody can share their stories, you know?
Right. And fairly anonymously, too. They don't even have to, you know, reveal their name.
Yes.
They can just share their experience and feel safe to do so.
I was thinking about knocking on the door. I think many of us don't go to the door, you know, today, unless we know who's there. But it reminded me of Carl Jung when he was going through so many emotions, and he was sitting in his home and he heard the doorbell ring. He went to the door. There was no one there. He went back, sat down, and he saw, you know, the old fashioned ringers where it bobs on the ringer, boom, 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 boom. He could see that going. He knew it was ringing. He could see it. And so he had a position where he could see where a person would have to stand who was ringing. There was no one, absolutely no one. And then he sat down. And suddenly the entire room was filled with spirits.
Oh, my gosh.
And he could see them.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah. And they had a message for him.
Do you care to share?
No. It was about something he needed to do.
Oh, it's a personal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That's really cool. I was given the okay. And, you know, I'll share a quick story. And I was given the okay to share this story by the person who I read. And this happened many years ago. And as I was talking to a woman, my front doorbell rang and I was the only one home. And I got up like, you know, Mary, didn't you look outside and there's nobody there? And I went around and I looked and there was nobody there. And I was like, that's really weird. And I did it. And I was while I was giving this reading and I told the woman, I said, I'm really sorry. I go, I heard a doorbell ring, but there's nobody there. And she said, I heard the doorbell ring, too. And she said, that is a sign her loved one who passed rings doorbells. Oh, isn't that wild?
Great.
That's
so
great.
That was really cool. So, I mean, it was a very cool experience for me because it's like I've had numerous from people that I've read, but it was interesting because, you know, talking about the front door like that. And she had said, yeah, she even told me, she goes, I heard your doorbell ring too through the phone. And I said, yeah. So that's really wild. And I said, there's nobody there. And she's like, well, no, she said, there is. And that's when I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. So that was a really neat experience. So
beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
I do, too.
So is it about that time?
It's that time. So I'll go ahead and read the Mahayama prayer. It's may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world. and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you, Janet.
And thank you,
listeners. We appreciate you.
And we won't be here next month, right?
Not on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving. So have wonderful holidays, and we will see you and hear you in December.
Yes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.